Heavenly Father, we bless your name this morning. Unto you shall the gathering of your people be. We are come unto you once again to be refreshed. We have come to you to be renewed. We have come unto you to be edified. We have come unto you to receive a word. Lord, this morning, speak unto us from the throne of grace. Father, may they not hear me this morning, but hear you through me. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Put your hands together, Father Lord. I want to welcome us to service this morning. And I also welcome all our online worshippers from all the places you are joining us for this morning service. Today, I am starting a series. It might not be preaching, so to say, I will be teaching. And this series might take, I don't know how long it will take. It depends on, I don't know the full thing as of now, but I know what I'm to speak about. And so I don't know whether it will take 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, or thereabouts. But today, I'm going to introduce that series. Now, at the beginning of this year, I told us that the Lord is going to visit us. That this is the year of our visitation. But we have to position ourselves for the visitation of the Lord. And let me say that this year, throughout this year, based on what the Lord has told me and is impressing on my mind, we are going to be preaching about everything, whatever. But the central focus this year is going to be on personal growth as a Christian. Personal walk with the Lord. Personal encounter with Him. That is going to be the focus of the teachings and the preachings in this church this year. I know people want healing, people want miracles, people want signs and wonders, people want breakthrough. Yes, you are going to have it. But this will be addendum to the main focus. The main focus this year is about your personal development, spiritual development. And so the series I'm starting this morning, I title it, That Christ Be Formed in You. That what? Can you say it after me? That Christ be formed in you. And our text, I want to be something that every one of us will be reciting every day in your mind, in your heart. That they wake you up in the morning, you should be able to recite that first. And I want us to take a text this morning from Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Just a very short verse, simple. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. My little children, of whom I travail in Christ again. Until what? Until Christ be formed in you. Paul was speaking to Galatians. And if you are familiar very well with the book of Galatians, you find out that Galatians were a people that Paul was passionate about. At a point, he got angry and annoyed with them. He said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has deceived you? Who has bewitched you?" That was in chapter 3. But when he got to chapter 4, he said, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you." Now listen to me. Paul was not speaking to a congregation of Gentiles. He was not speaking to people in a political rally. He was not speaking to people in a clubhouse, in a nightclub. He was speaking to people in the church of God, in the house of God, people who are supposed to know the Lord. And he said, "I still travail." What does that mean? It means that there was need for a formation. Before you came to this church, it's either you are born physically or you are already born again. No, I don't deceive. We have two types of people in the church. People who just come, they are not born again. They are members of the church. We have some members like that. But people who are already born again and they are in the church. But whether you are yet to be born again or you are already born again, Paul made us understand there is still a travail that Paul was going through, even for the people that were under him, and the only aim was that Christ be formed in them. What does that mean? You are already, you might, even if you are born again, there's still a formation, a formative process you need to go through. Yoruba ni pe tin ba bi yan kini o ko no tun ra re bi. So when you are in the church, you need to go through another birth. Even when you are born again, there's still a travail. The church needs to travail on you, and you need to travail with the church for something to happen, for Christ to be formed. Let me tell you, formation is a process. Do you agree with me? Formation is a process. And everybody needs to go through that process. If my knowledge of elementary biology, because the only thing I did was in biology. But those who are our medical personnel here, if I go, just wave to them, say, "Pastor, you got it wrong." And just correct me, and they'll just send a note and give me the correction. Because I'm only relying on my elementary knowledge. But if I get it right, I can do your thumb up. I know we have doctors among us, you have nurses. From my elementary knowledge of biology, I was taught in secondary school, I know that formation, Paul was talking about, travail for the formation of Christ in them. But when you see the formation of a baby, according to my rudimentary knowledge of biology, take three phases. The first phase we are taught was the germinal stage. And we are told then that it takes place between the first 2 weeks. And at the germinal stage, two things take place: fertilization and implantation. The fertilization of the eggs, and then the implantation, which sometimes is called the development of blastocyst. Did I get it right? God bless you. And that takes place within the first 2 weeks. But after the germinal stage, no, you go to the embryonic stage. And that is when that's the development of the embryo with the amniotic sac. And takes place between the 3rd week to the 9th to the 8th week. Then the 3rd stage is the fetal stage, which takes place from the 9th week till birth. So these are the 3 phases of formation in the womb. So what we have in the physical is a mirror to what happens in the spiritual. So for us also, there are 3 phases of spiritual formation. And as I introduce this topic this morning, I want to place yourself where you are in these phases. And these three phases, we can find them in the book of Psalm 8 verse 2 and Hebrew verse chapter 5 verse 14. Psalm 8 verse 2, Hebrew chapter 14, chapter 5 verse 14. Let's go to Psalm 8 for Psalm 8 verse 2 quickly. Out of the mouth of babes and suckling art thou ordained strength because of thy enemy, that thou may steal the enemies and the avenger. Two of the three faces are stated here. Can you mention them? Babes and suckling. Then go to Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14. Out of the mouth of babes and suckling. Now go to the Hebrew chapter 5 verse 14. Quickly. Hebrew chapter 5 verse 14. But strong meat belong to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now the three faces are this. You are the face of the suckling. You are the face of the babe. You are the face of fully with this face of maturity. But at every stage, there are processes you must go through. Now, let us distinguish between the suckling. Between the suckling, the babe, and those of full age. Now, it's only our mothers, they are in the children section. It's a Boshi Ojo here. Is he there? Abuloye, are you here? They are not there. You see, a suckling is somebody that is not yet weaned. Still sucking breast. Those who plan sign or you know, agree. So, what we call a sucker? It's somebody who has that point is totally and completely ignorant. Completely dependent, cannot stand on his own, and therefore he or she can be imposed upon. He has no opinion. When you see a baby, like the baby of Ojo now, or the baby of Abuloye, or the baby of Pokola, they are still sucking breasts. You decide when you want to feed them. You decide whether they will sleep on the bed, or you put a mat or a pillow or something on the floor. They don't decide where they want to sleep. They don't decide where they want to eat. They don't decide what they are going to eat. They only know they are hungry, they cry. You decide what you give them. So many Christians, they are still at the face of suckling. And when you are a suckling, you can easily be deceived. And we have churches populated today by suckers, and they remain like that year in, year out, day in, day out, week in, week out. They are Christians, but they are treading on a precariously dangerous ground because they are suckers. I saw a video clip trending on WhatsApp really, and I shook my head of the danger of being a sucker as a Christian. Can you please media, please give some of them that have seen that video before? Can media just play that video for us? Give the volume, please.
You told me that whoever I bless shall be blessed.
Start by the beginning, because he started by quoting the word of God. The Bible says his word will not fall to the ground.
You are the giver of all things.
Please stop it and start from the beginning and give the voice.
You are the giver of all things. You told me that the words of my mouth will not fall to the ground. You told me that whoever I bless shall be blessed. I stand in my office as God's servant. Lift up this phone. I command money to enter your account. If you have faith here, that amen will be better. I don't need to shout for you to get wealth. It is spiritual. Stretch that in all. I speak to a Zenith bank account. Receive miracle money. I speak to Diamond Access account. Receive miracle money. I speak to UBA. Receive money. I speak to Access Bank. Receive miracle money. I speak to Guaranteed Trust Bank. Receive miracle money.
See that 419 pastor and with a congregation of scammers. The pastor is a scammer. The congregant, the pastor is a 419. The congregants, they are scammers. So he said, the Lord told me, my word shall not fall to the ground. He was quoting the word of God. And he said they should raise up their phone where their bank account, and was commanding miracle to go into the banks. Money that people deposited that they sweated for. And he said miracle money. And people were shouting amen. And they were very happy. Why? They were suckers. They are totally, completely ignorant. They feed on what they were told. That's a sucker. And that is part of the tragedy of the church today. We have our churches populated by suckers and scammers and forerunners come up in the name of ministration, and they say so many things, and they take it hook, line, and sinker, because Christ is yet to be forming them. Now I can sympathize with Paul when he said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again. That word again is important. It means that it's a continuous thing. Until Christ be formed in you. So that's a sucker. The face of suckling. After the face of suckling, it is face of babes. Because you look at Psalm 8, verse 8, out of the mouth of babes and suckling. The babes, they have opinion. They are already weaned, but they are inexperienced. The babes, they are not like suckers who have no knowledge of anything. Because as for the suckers, they are totally and completely ignorant. They are totally dependent. But the babes, they are not ignorant. They have some knowledge, but the only problem is that they lack experience. And until they gather experience, they cannot attain full maturity. But at the state of babes, if you want to gather experience, you have to be ready. You have to ready to go through process and endure. But know the problem with some babes. Let me tell you. A babe. Let me give an example of a babe now. If you are a babe, we pamper you. A sucker is different from a babe. If I tell all of us know Nemi now. Nemi is no longer a sucker. Or are you still breastfeeding her? Answer me. But a babe, like Nemi, if he comes here now, if the mother refuses to put pampers for her, and she should we here, it will be wrong for me to take, remove by then, begin to beat her him. I can't do that. You know why? He see a babe. So you pamper a babe. It's inexperience. Unfortunately, many Christians, they are babes. And they are comfortable staying in this stage of a babe, being pampered. You do something that is wrong, you will get angry with the pastor, and the pastor come to apologize, you're sorry. I say, ha, that's a good pastor. I pity you. You are in a subgroup. You do something wrong, your subgroup leader corrects you, you get angry with him, you walk away. They are now they come to beg, come back to the subgroup. I say, okay, I will come back. You are a babe. Unfortunately, many Christians love to be pampered. But you can't grow like that. You are not useful like that. Every time they correct you, you get angry. Sometimes you refuse to come to church, or you say you are not come to that subgroup again, or you are not doing that thing you are doing again. Ah, you are still a babe. Grow up. Tell somebody, grow up. God works with suckling, he works with babes, but that's not where he wants to be. My little children, of whom I travail in Christ again, until Christ be forming you. If you are a babe, Christ is here to be forming you. It doesn't mean you are not born again. It doesn't mean you are not a Christian. But you are not in the phase, in the stage in which you should be. And when you now go to Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14, it says that strong meat belong to them that are of full age. Those who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern both good and evil. That's when you attain maturity. But let me see. Being mature does not mean that you don't see have faces you want to go through, you need to go through. Because it is one thing to have the knowledge of good and evil. It's another thing to follow what is right and go against what is wrong. So even as somebody who's of full age, Paul was still traveling. So what am I saying this morning? In this series I'm starting today, I'm going to be talking to the sucklings. I'm going to be talking to the babes. I'm going to be talking to the matured. Every one of us. And let me say, I'm not just preaching to you, I'm also preaching to myself. Because I belong to one. Anybody you are as a Christian, you belong to these three categories. If you are not a sucker, you are a babe. If you're not a babe, you are mature. But whichever one you have, they say travail. And I want to look at yourself this morning. Even from this preamble, where do you belong? Are you a babe that anybody can just put force? You can know if you force feed a babe. Do you know that you can force feed a babe, a sucker? So you are just, a sucker? Are you a babe? Are you mature? Do you know that if I say now, please open your Bible to the book of Judah chapter 3. Some people will still be filling their Bible. Book of Judah chapter 3. Verse 8. If I say that one, I know some people here will be flipping their Bible, struggling and sweating to look for the book of Judas. So which phase are you? Are you a babe? Are you a sucker? Are you mature? But whichever phase you find yourself this morning, I want you to know that there is a travail that we are going to go through. And the question I am asking this morning, are you ready this year to allow Christ to be forming you? Can you just ask somebody beside you, are you ready this year to allow Christ to be forming you? And ask yourself that question. Am I ready this year to allow Christ to be forming me? This formation takes a process. If you are a soccer, Christ is to be forming you. It takes a process. If you are a babe, Christ needs to be forming you. It takes a process. If you are mature, Christ needs to be forming you. It takes a process. And this process, it involves three parties. Formation involves three, even biologically. Formation of a baby involves three parties. The male, the female, and God. Am I right? Because with male and female, God is not there. It doesn't mean there's going to be anything. Copper, planter, and pool water. Only God giveth increase. But now, this formation spiritually involves three parties. And the three parties must cooperate for that formation to take place. And who are the three parties? You or me? Because, like I said, this message, I'm not just preaching it to you, I'm preaching to myself. Because when you preach message several times, as a, if you are a real man of God, you are not only preaching what you are perfecting, you are preaching what you are also perfecting. So I'm not only speaking to you, I'm also speaking to myself. So, just like the biological formation takes three parties, the male, female, and God, the spiritual formation also takes in four three parties, you or me, the church, and God. You, church, and God. In both the physical or biological formation and spiritual formation, God is a constant. Okay? God is a constant. But the other two factors are the variables. And the variables are you and what? And the church. The church must be ready to do its own part. And you must be able to do your own part. And that's what Paul was trying to say. Paul was saying he was doing his own part. Say, I travail again. See, when Paul was doing this, you see, when you see the word again, that is long suffering. That means he has done it. Sometimes he was frustrated. Sometimes he was discouraged. Sometimes he was angry. Sometimes he was annoyed. But he kept on. And that's what the church is supposed to do. And unfortunately, so many people, they mistake that. They mistake long suffering for acceptability. When you are in the church, maybe you come to church, you just dress anyhow. We don't say go out of the church, but we are talking to you. You behave anyhow, we are talking to you. And because they have not sent you out of the church, you now believe that after all that is acceptable in the church. No! We are only traveling again and again. It is long suffering. It doesn't mean that your conduct is acceptable in the church. It doesn't mean your dressing is acceptable in the church. It doesn't mean your hairstyle is acceptable in the church. It doesn't mean your manner is acceptable in the church. It is just long suffering. You better open your ears and open your mind and open to God. It's not acceptability. Paul, I travel again. Church, we do its own part. We must be ready. I want us to look at something. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 12, verse 23. 1 Samuel, chapter 12, verse 23. 1 Samuel, chapter 12, verse 23. Is it there? Moreover, look at it. Samuel here was speaking to Israelites. Say, moreover for me, God forbid, that I should sin against the law in season to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Do you get that? Hey, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against God, that I will not cease to pray for you and teaching you. Teaching you what? Eh? Now, but do I have the right to enforce, do I have the capacity to enforce it on you? That was Samuel was saying. I will do my part. The church, let me tell you, we do its part. We are ready to do our part. We'll pray for you. We'll teach you what is right and what is good. But it doesn't stop there if you don't cooperate. It doesn't mean that you don't change. We accept what we are doing. We are doing our own part, expecting that you will do your own part. And that's what we have been doing. And that's what we'll be doing the more. Like I said, this year, the main focus of this church is for us to ensure that there's personal spiritual growth. When we started the church, there was a time we were less than 100. You were praying, God increase us. Now we were, at the time we now were above 100. A time we became 150. The time we came 200. A time we got about 200. A time we hit 300. But you see, what is in number? When a church grows in number, it's only becoming fat. It's when the spiritual life of people begins to change, that when the church begins to grow. Number is useless without commensurable growth. Number is not the essence of growth. It's the qualities. It's the lifestyle, it's the speed, it's the content of the people who are there. So this year, yes, I'm not saying we don't want to increase now. I want us to increase the Bible. I want us to grow more as individuals. I want us to be closer to God as individual. I want us to know God more as individual. I want us to become more mature as individual. And that is going to take precedence over the numeric growth. Yes, we are going to grow in number. I'm not praying against that. I'm still pursuing that. But the focus this year is our personal relationship with God. Our personal goal with God. Said, I will teach you what is right. That's a part of the church. Now, what's your own part? What's your own part? I want us to quickly, I'm still introducing this message. I'm yet to go into the meat of it. I want us to look at something, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15 to 16. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15 to 16. Hebrews chapter 11. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, where do you come out from? Do you come out from drinking, from smoking, from lying, from fornication, from Yahoo, from Yahoo Plus? If you have been mindful of what you came out for, you already have a point to go back. If your mind is still on where you came from, if you are in Zion and you are still giraffing the Babylon, you know what I mean by giraffing? Ungano. Your mind, your body is in Zion. But your mind, your spirit, your focus, your gaze is in Babylon. You already created a point for yourself to go back. If they have been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. And that's our tragedy as churches. We are people who, though they are worshiping God, but the things that is going on in the world is the thing that excites them. People can sing the song of King Daniel, sing that of Davido, sing that of Peace Choir, but they can't recite 5 verses of the Bible. They can spend hours watching these entertainers, but they have no time to download messages and listen fully for 1 hour. That would be a waste of time. They don't have time for that. It's that time they know they are very busy. Messages online to grow your spirit. When they see stand-up comedians, they can sit down for hours smiling and rolling on the floor. But when they come to church, they start looking at their time. That's when they are wasting time. If they have been mindful of where they came, you can't grow like that. You have to take your mind away from where you came from and focus on where you are. Go to verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Hallelujah. But that city is not for those who are mindful where they came from. It's only for those people who have removed their gaze and they focus on him, they focus on God, they focus on growth, they focus on death. If they have been mindful of where they came from. See, the problem is that many of our Christians, our past are catching up with us. And I pray for you and I pray for myself. May your past not catch up with you. May my past not catch up with me. You see, the plan of the devil is to make the past of people to catch up with them. At the time you say, I give my life to Christ. But when you are, after as you are going back, the enemy will be, you know, dangling, playing the video, a recording of the past, and showing you the pictures of the past, what you are missing, what you are losing. And then you begin to embrace it gradually, and your mind begin to be there, and before you know, you are wandering away. If they have been mindful, it starts from the mind. It's your mind on God. It's your mind on the word. We are bringing more of the word into the church, and we are exporting less of the church into the word. The word is steady, the standard. The church is just accommodating and adjusting. We are not affecting the word. The word is affecting us. But now they desire a better country. That is the country that's better than the one they are. The one that is shiny but is not gold. All that glitters is not gold. They desire a better country. So when church is doing so, what about your own? You see, the question I want to ask, why are you a member of the church? I won't have time to integrate that today. Maybe I'll go to that next Sunday and we are going to dissect it. But let me tell you, we have 3 types of people in the church. And I want to ask, because of my time, I'm going to, today just introduction, I'm not going to the main message. You are in this church. We have 3 types of people. To even begin to put yourself, those who are numbered, those who are counted, and those who are accountable. I repeat myself again. The first set are those who are numbered, The second set are those who are counted. And the third set are those who are accountable. You know what it means to be numbered? We just come. I've joined that church. Now I'm a member of CEDA. And on Sunday, the ushers will go around. Every Sunday service, count how many people are in the attendance. 100, 150, 210, 300. What is a number? If you are just saying that, the only thing, the only credential they have is that they are a member of this church. That's the only thing. And when you look at Gideon, when he wanted to go and meet the Midianites, God asked him to bring army together. He brought how many? 32,000. 32. But a lot of those people are rubbish. People that could not help him. Churches are popular today that people cannot help the church. That's the truth. When I'm talking about people, no, nothing, I'm talking of financial help. That's not what I'm talking about. Everything is not money. If you begin to denominate everything in terms of naira and cobalt, you live a useless life. Everything is not naira and cobalt. Churches are populated by people that cannot help the church. Gideon gathered 32,000 people. And God said, no. Go back and ask them. Those who are afraid, those who are fearful, let them go back. How many people went back? 22,000. Can you imagine? More than two-thirds went back. And God said, no! That 10,000, you still have a lot of dead woods. Take them to the river. Put them to a test, endurance test. Simple endurance test. Let us see those who just want comfort. They want to be pampered. They want to be cajoled. Who want to just drink water as if they are needed. Or those who just, the king's business decided the man of Jesse, and they will lap like dog. Just put their water and they put the water in. And only 300. So from 32,000, you have 300. So the growth of a church is not just a number of people that is there. We have a lot of dead wolves all around. So are you a number in this church? If you are here and you don't have anything you are doing in the church, you are just a number. A number is useless. Today, the most, when you look at the population of India and compare with the population of America, which one is bigger? India. But India is under the, or is a third world country. America is in the first world. If it's number that gives development, they would have be ahead of India, ahead of America. In Africa, which one is the most populous country? Put Nigeria beside South Africa, our population. If population world gives development, Nigeria is more developed than South Africa. Please, let us begin to see ourselves what makes proper growth and development. So are you a number in this church? If you are in this church, you have been attending for the past 3-6 months, and the only thing you do is just to go and come back. Go and come back. You are just a number. I'm sorry, something I'll be saying, it doesn't matter whether you are angry or you are annoyed, but I'm going to say it the way I feel it is. I'm not going to care. Pastor is talking to me. I don't care. I'm not talking to anybody. I'm talking based on what God is asking me to say. If you have been here for the past 3-6 months, and the only thing you do is just to come and warm the chair, we count you every Sunday, you are just a number. And what is a number? Number is only about, can only boost your ego. Our church is now, we are now 300, we are now 400, and we are now 1,000. Useless. It is good, but it's not enough. That's what I'm saying. We shouldn't stay at that. So are you a number in cedar? That where we begin to look at that, know the stage of growth in which you are. Number two, you have those we count on, you are counted. So maybe, okay, when you are counted, it means that you are taking up a responsibility, that's for God, or we are giving you a responsibility. Two things, remember. One, you are number. In that number, you are anonymous. You have no responsibility, you have no nothing, you just come to church, you go away. But the other one, you are counted. When you are counted, it means that you are taking, either you are taking a responsibility in the church, or we are giving you a responsibility. When you say, I want to join the choir. Or we say, no, you need to be in the usher. Pastor may tell you, a member can tell you, and you agree. Then that means you are counted. But we may count you may not be counted. It's not everybody that we count. You know, when you are counted, we are expecting that you stand for God. You do a responsibility. But because you know, whether you like it or not, some people have to be in choir. Some people have to be in ushering. Some people have to be in technical. But it is one thing to be counted. It's another to be accountable. Not all those that are counted are accountable. I came to church this morning. The church has started. We say workers' prayer. I saw even ministers. I'm not talking of workers now. Walking to the church long after the service has started. I just shook my head. You are accountable. You are not accountable. No, sometimes when people do that, at times I talk to them, at times I keep quiet. If I keep quiet, does not mean I accept it. But it only means you are not accountable. And accountable is not only to God, it's also to man. That's the truth. Because I have to, oh Lord, you know me. I've told, if you are a worker, if you are a minister, you are coming for a workers' meeting, you must send me a message that if there's any urgent that will make it to be late. But some people, you know you are a minister, you know you are a worker. Workers' prayer meeting start at 7:30. No information that anything is delaying you. You just care as if you are not, I'm just walking majestically. You see that, join the service. I pity you. My little children, of whom I travel again until Christ be forming you. If you are doing that, Christ not forming you. I've told you severally, nobody should think it's doing anybody favor by doing any service in this church. If you have that mind before, perish the thought now, from now onward. Nobody is doing anybody any favor by serving God here. I'm not doing anybody favor. I'm not doing you favor. So, are you a number? See, are you counted? Are you accounted? See, when you are counted and you are not accounted, you are a placeholder. I hope you understand the meaning of a placeholder. I only got to know that terminology in Nigeria last year. A placeholder. Remember when Labour Party and the APC, when they were looking for vice presidential candidates, they just put some dummy there until they will get it. Do you remember? So those are placeholder. Are you a placeholder? You are a minister, but are you a placeholder minister? You are head of unit. Are you a placeholder? You are a worker. Are you a placeholder? You are there, praying that God will send somebody that will be useful and be accountable. You can even be a pastor. You can be a minister, but you are a placeholder. Managing you, pampering you, tolerating you until God said it's home. For a long time, Saul became a placeholder. He was still the king of Israel, but he was a placeholder. He was still giving commands. People are still obeying him. But he was a placeholder. Are you a placeholder? I know some of you may not smile at me this morning. But I don't intend to offend anybody. But I tend to tell you the truth the way it is. Are you a number? Are you counted? Are you accountable? My little children, of whom I travel in Christ again, until Christ be formed in you. Are you a suckling? Are you a babe? Are you mature? Are you mindful of where you came from? Or are you focused on the new city? Are you ready to go through the pain and the process of formation? If you come to church, we accept you the way you are. But if you remain the way you are after 3 or 6 months, then you are not useful to yourself. You are not useful to church. People can come to church the way they are, but they shouldn't remain the way they are. They should allow a change process to take place in them. But how much change have you allowed to take place in your life? How much change have I allowed to take place in my life? Once again, I ask you, look at your life. Look at you. Are you a suckling? Are you a babe? Are you mature? And look at, if you have been in the church in the last 3 months, are you just a number? And if you are a worker, you are a minister, you are counted, but you are accountable. Do you really see yourself being, if you are accountable, you take everything you do with seriousness and to precision. But this morning, it is time to allow God to let go and let go. This year, it's time for us to grow. But are you ready in your mind? Will you allow Christ to be forming you? Will I allow Christ to be forming me? Stand on your feet. Where's that big girl? We are going to ask God to draw us closer this morning. I've just introduced this message today. I'm going to go into the meat of it from next week. But I want to go back home to ruminate on what I've said this morning. Do you see, want us to come to pamper you? And as long as we pamper, you are happy with yourself. But every time we rebuke you, you are angry. You get on. You get annoyed. You declare a strike. You go and leave, or you change church, or you change unit. Draw me closer.
My song every day, Father, draw me closer, draw me closer to Thee. My song every day, Father, draw me closer.
This morning, I'm not going to ask you to request for promotion, to request for breakthrough. Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added to you. Yes, God will add everything unto you when you focus right. This morning, I know if it's, I'm talking about No, ask for breakthrough now. Ask for lifting. Ask for near. Just like somebody was calling money from bank account, and people are jumping on their feet. But you ask for people to ask for direct, ask that God for growth, ask for personal work, ask for deeper relationship. People just be shaking their hand, they just be whispering. But this morning, I want to encourage you to really cry unto God that God, I don't want to remain the same. I don't want to be on the same spot I have been. There's a deeper walk I can have with you. There's a greater height. There's a new height. There's a closer relationship I can have with you this morning. Lord, I want to begin a new journey. I want to begin a new journey, a closer, a deeper, a better, a more intimate relationship with you. Can you begin to ask God? Cry with your heart. Don't just say it because I have to say it. But mean it. Desire it. I don't just want to be a number. My Lord and my God, I want to move closer to you. I want to matter before you. I want to be the apple of your eye. Some of us need to repent. We've been here, we are just numbers. Warm me the chair. Or we count on you, but you are not accountable. It's better repent and ask for forgiveness and decide from today. You yourself would render your, you make yourself accountable. Self accountability. Don't expect someone to bring down your shoulder. Don't expect it to be pampered, to be cajoled, to do what you want to do for the Lord. See it as partnership with Him. My little children, of whom I travail again, Christ on the cry for you. Begin to pray. Lord, let Christ before me this year. Let Christ before me. 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 In the mighty name of Jesus. Maska pashata. Brakakata. I'm going on the upward way. New height I'm waiting. Need every day. Your praying house, I am worthy. Your hand, my feet on high. Lift me up, holy I run through the prayer. I want every one of us to recite that our text again, because I want you every day to recite it in your mind, and you don't need to open your Bible before you know it. But for the sake of those who are yet to memorize, I want us to project Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. I want every member of the church to this year to begin to turn that verse again and again in your mind. When you are in your room, recite in your mind. When you are in the toilet, recite it. When you are with your friends, recite it. When you are going somewhere, recite it. 1, 2, 3. My little children, of whom I travel in Christ again, until Christ be formed in you. Again, my little children, of whom I travel in Christ again, until Christ be formed in you. One more time. My little children, of whom I travel in Christ again, until Christ be formed in you. This year, Christ will be forming me.
Amen.
Better and pray for me. I said, you are saying amen. What of you? This say this year.
This year.
Christ will be forming me.
Christ will be forming
this year,
this year.
I will allow Christ
to be forming me.
Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for every one of us this morning. Lord, you will help us. We will allow you that Christ might be forming us in the mighty name of Jesus. We no longer remain as babe. We won't remain as suckling. But Lord, we remain as an adult. And even as an adult, we go on higher ground with you in the mighty name of Jesus. We not just be ordinary number. Father, you will forgive all those of us who are just numbers. Father, for some of us, we count on us, but we are not counted. Lord, you forgive us. You make us to be accountable. We will be accountable to God. We will be accountable to you. We will be accountable to your mission in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lord, bless your name. In Jesus' name we are prayed.